This question was answered. The response was yes. Shimmy and Arlad in the Pantheon. There were some people that wanted to ask more questions on this. Over here. Just come forward. All right. What I was saying was that this question was answered, and the answer was yes. Vivian, Arlan, quite ready. There were some counter questions. We talked about two. There's another two, three hands up that I saw at the time, but we didn't have any time. Just wondering whether any of those people here now want to ask any counter questions. Okay. We'll move on. The next question is, who decides who becomes a Santapala? Who has the power to say that? And how does one reach that status? Is that status right or wrong? So basically the question is, how this title of Santapala, how does it come about? Who gives that title? And who has the power to bestow this title? And is it right to reach that, or have that status of being Santapala? Again, with microphones, you can just turn them on, and I'll turn mine off, and we can only have one on at one time.
What do you want?
Sorry,
is it going? Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh. Can you hear me? Yes? Who decides who becomes a Santa Baba? Who has the power to say that no? And how does one reach that status? Is that status right or wrong?
I don't know why the person is asking the question. Assume he wants to know how babis are created. On a serious point, this is, you know, this camp should not be a Santa Baba bashing camp. If anybody thinks that that's what this camp is doing, then that's wrong. Even on the other day when I said about Brahmagyani, all I quoted was Gurwani Shabd saying what his avastha should be measured against. I wasn't saying there isn't one. There could be quite a few. Now, history has it. Historically, we've had some great souls like Samdar Atar Singh, Baba Nand Singh, Dale Wale Sant, Harak Wale Sant, Baba Jwala Singh. Paisai wasn't a sant, but Paisai was sort of classed in that category as a Gurmukh. So we shouldn't go away from here thinking, oh, all babis are fake. Now what happens is when they became Baba Harnam Singh Ramu Kiriwale, Sikh Kanhaiya, if we read that book, what happens is when they did their kamai and then started doing prachar and seva, obviously you have admirers who are inspired by their kamai and their life, and they become sort of attached to them. And when the time comes for them to pass away, they've got to hand that seva to somebody. And they usually hand it to somebody who they think is suitable for that seva. Usually they decide. We've had the odd cases where they passed away and the seva have had to sort of decide amongst themselves, or some sort of trouble started because they couldn't decide. But on the whole, they usually decide, Baba usually decide before they passed away, say, you'll do the seva. What happens is, the second Baba never usually becomes the first Baba. That's the problem. You see, if Baba Nand Singh was really spiritually high, then although those that admire Klera Wali Babi, right, they might say Baba Ishwar Singh was the same, I would say, well, maybe not quite. Same with other sons, Sant Baba Atar Singh. It would be difficult to say that Sant Baba Teja Singh was on the same level. Maybe he was, but I don't think he would accept it either. Now, that's the problem. The second Baba probably is very good, good Kamai. But then, when he passes away, the third Baba, right, the Kamai tends to get lesser and lesser. So it becomes a job then. It's got to be done. And we now, in this year, have reached probably the third or fourth generation of Babas from the original Babis. Right? So that's why you get a lot of criticism for them, because they claim to be in sort of a receivership of bakshis from the original babis, when the only thing that they've got is the name. They've got some kamai. Now, people get confused by thinking, well, Guru Nanak Dev Ji passed guruship to Guru Angad Dev Ji. Maybe it's the same thing. Sorry, no. Guru Nanak Dev Ji cannot be compared with the babis. Guru Nanak Dev Ji passed the Guru Jyot on. They pass a seva on. A seva for the Dera and seva to inspire individuals. And I would also add here that, okay, they might not be Pure Babi, they might not be Hayavasta Babi. If they're doing something good in terms of schools, in terms of looking after the poor, education-wise, or even Kirtan Sikya-wise, we should have some respect for them. But we do not treat them as our gurus. If they somehow show signs of wanting to be a guru, then we run away from that. Otherwise, if they're decent and Guru Granth fearing, Guru fearing, God fearing individuals, and they're doing their best trying to do some prachar of Sikhi, then we should give them the respect that they deserve. But the answer to that question is, we can't decide the status. Usually in the old days, the status was decided by the original sant. Nowadays, because you've got so many babis, the status, the quality of the status has diminished. And that's the problem we faced. And we face it all over. We face it in ourselves as well. I mean, what's our quality compared to Pai Taru Singh or Pai Mani Singh? I see very few Pai Taru Singhs here or Pai Mani Singhs. But that doesn't mean that we should stop Sikhi altogether. No, it means that we have to strive harder. We have to work harder. And bearing in mind their inspiration for us, that, you know, that's Sikhi. When you give them the choice, do you want Sikhi? You want to live or die? And Pai Taru Singh says, no, I want Sikhi with my case. Pai Mani Singh said, no, I want Sikhi. I don't want Islam or any other religion. I will not give that up. That's our inspiration. So don't go away from here having a negative feeling for our elders. I call them my elders, right? Give respect, but be aware that the full status and the quality might not be there. And again, if you want to build your own life, go to Guruji. Guru Granth Sahib Ji, pray to Guruji, love and devotion through Gurbani, Kirtan and Naam will eventually bear fruit. Yes. Sorry.
Okay, next question. And we're going to come back on the previous question. Okay. Next question is, my parents' sole income is a grocery store which heavily sells alcohol and cigarettes. Is it acceptable for me as an Ahmadiyya to sell these products to avoid conflict with my family? I think the crux of this question has been, the general question has been answered before, and the answer is no. That you shouldn't sell alcohol, cigarettes, meat, etc. But the difference in this question is the last bit where it says, should I do what my parents tell me to avoid conflict? By Nishant Basing?
As you know, it's really clear that, you know, it's not supposed to be doing business like that. It's obviously you don't want to do business like that. I had a similar situation in America. The whole family got their very case care and all that. But the sad thing is, they are all struggling and saying, sorry, your dogs could all see your children, sorry, don't you? They're having a gas station, and with all this alcohol thing, meat, and all everything is there. So they're not feeling good, I'm not feeling disturbed. Nothing is peaceful there. So I don't know how you're going to take it, but for the conflict's sake, maybe you can just stay on, but do your dogs and get out of it.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no wish.
Some time ago, some years ago, I used to come regularly to Renswise, and there was a singh that used to come as well, and he was sort of so, I don't know, friendly towards me, and he used to ask me if I said, I'm doing this, what's your advice? I've got a shop, sort of beer shop, what's your advice? And I said, well, you know, you're a great person. My advice is to get out of it as soon as possible. And then he asked other good Sikhs, and they would say, don't, because you're living. What are you going to do if you go out of that? And because my advice was with no obligation. I wasn't really cared. You know, I just said to him, look, my feeling is that you should get out as soon as you possibly can. And one day, well, he met me. He said, Paisa, I've done what you said. I said, what did I say? He says, you said, get out of that business. I said, did I? He says, yeah, got out of it. As though he took it to heart that I said, you know, it took him some time, but he took it to heart what I said. And I wasn't really that demanding or serious. I just said, look, as far as I'm concerned, I know it's your living. And it's not easy to have a living these days, but I would advise you if you want to sort of progress in Sikhi a lot further to give it up. And eventually he did. But mine was not an advice that was with obligation. Sorry. So, I wasn't sort of... I wasn't pressing him to do it at that time. I wasn't sort of saying, you puppy, what are you doing? You know, you're going hell. No, I could see that he had a genuine hardship, a genuine hard decision to make. And I said, look, it's your family. He was about the same age as me. And he knew that for quite a while. And when he came back to me, some time back later, he said, so what do you do now then? He said, I work in a... do-yourself store. There's no cigarettes and things there. I said, well, are you happy? He says, I'm more happy now. I say, thanks for your advice. And that was really years before that I gave that advice. Say, no, it takes time. Don't rush yourself. They are your parents. Try to convince them that you really want to stay out of their business and try to advise them that it's best that they gradually come out of it. It's not a one-day one. You can't sell a shop just like that. It takes time. But don't condemn them for what they're doing. Just try to convince them that there's a better way.
This person asked this question actually followed up on the slip of paper, but everyone on the panel answered over their answers, so everyone can just give 20 seconds worth.
I agree with the funny little thing and okay, the same.
10 seconds.
You do agree with something.
I also agree.
What is he going
to say? I guess I'll do a couple of seconds more. I think that, yeah, as soon as you can, try and stop. And if there's any way for you not to do it, put your foot down. And go for it. I mean, what's the worst your parents will do? I mean, they'll be upset for a couple of days, but I'm sure they'll manage. So offer to do whatever you can, you know, work around the situation, but this is definitely not something you can do and continue on the Sikhi path.
Yeah, that's a good piece of advice that, you know, you can do sort of things sweep up really hard, pop up a bit of everything else apart from the setting, then that might be a good way.
Good advice. Yeah. Is anything else?
Okay, next question. Would you allow a partner or your child to get married out of caste? If you found a partner for them, would you seek someone of the same caste as you by Lalbhiti?
I think it was Keith quite clear that you look at the person, you look at their spirituality, and you don't even bother asking about the caste. That in Sikhi, if you ask about the caste, that's Madhava itself. And if any Guru Sikh is asking about caste, then they're quite deluded. So caste, in terms of the Sikhi, should play a part in making marriage matches, just a jiva.
Okay, can I come back? Yeah.
But there are still good Sikhs here that still believe in the system.
Now,
how do you
overcome that? The question was whether that didn't hear is that there are still good Sikhs here who believe in caste. How do you deal with that?
Those good Sikhs are stuck in Punjabi culture, and that's not an easy thing to break. But caste relationships, what are they? If your new birth and cause has taken place, then caste has no role in your life. What can you say to these people? I don't know. It's very hard to break them out of the mentality. But I've seen, if you do something to the good Sikhs, that you'll notice that
making an alliance based on caste is just something that you're not going to be able to do. For example, whenever there's going to be a marriage to take place, not once has there been any question of, you know, what caste is a person. There have been so-called inter-caste marriages, but no one has ever made a point of it. So what can you do? I'm not sure. Just try and break down that mold, but it's not appropriate whatsoever.
Okay. Moving on. Do you have to be a Romani to go to such kind of, just a bit of a background, maybe not everyone's familiar with the terms. Romani, and correct me if I'm wrong, is a term that's generally put to a person who's one with God, you could say, who understands God. Rom is God, and Yanni is one who has complete knowledge. So Romani is a person who's seen as the highest stage you can achieve, possibly. And the Satkhand is where, despite the reason which Baltimore is taught, the Satkhand, generally speaking, is a place where God resides. God is everywhere, but that's the highest stage that you can get to, where it's just God and nothing else, I guess. If Michael Reason wants to answer that one.
You have to reach a certain level, for example, the Jyot Vikas level, to get into Satchkhand. But we'll be going through this in more detail tomorrow, because tomorrow's topic is about Satchkhand. So if you can cover this tomorrow, that's basically the time.
That's fine.
Is
it true that when you take Amit, that all the sins are wiped away, even if you do something like drink, and you think that, and you think in your head, oh, it's only because when I take of it, but it's okay, because when I take of it in 2 years, it will be washed away. So I guess the question is, if you haven't taken of it yet, and you know it's wrong to drink, but you think, I'll drink now, because in a couple of years, I mean, maybe you take of it, so it'll be washed away anyway, so I can do what I like. Just reason?
It's true that all the sins will be washed away because we have the new life, new birth in Guru Sahib's house. But the kala you have, the Namdi kala, to get that kala, you need to wash your mind first. You get the Nam kala at that time, the kala of Amrti, Shakti, Vikala, Jirina. Or Jinnapa, apne aap baani de naal judange. ਬਾਣੀ ਪੜ੍ਹਾਂਗੇ ਹੁਣ ਤੋਂ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰਾਂਗੇ ਉਹਨੀ ਆਪਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਕਲਾ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਮਿਲੇਗੀ ਉਦੋਂ ਚੜ੍ਹਦੀ ਕਲਾ ਹੋਏਗੀ ਜੇ ਆਪਾਂ ਸੋਚੀਏ ਕਿ ਇਨ 2 ਈਅਰਸ ਟਾਈਮ ਅਤੇ ਆਪਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਹੁਣ ਸ਼ਾਹ ਸ਼ਰਾਬ ਪੀ ਲਾਂ ਅਤੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਫਿਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਮੇ ਬੀ ਆਲ ਡਰਿੰਕ ਨਾਓ ਲੈਟ ਡਿਟ ਮੇ ਬੀ ਵੋਂਟ ਗੈਟ ਅਮਰਥ ਇਨ 2 ਈਅਰਸ ਯੂ ਡੋਨਟ ਨੋ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਲਾਈਫ ਨਾਓ ਸੈਕਿੰਡ ਯੂ ਡੋਨਟ ਨੋ ਹਰ ਜਬ ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੈਡ ਯੂ ਡੋਨਟ ਨੋ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਨੈਕਸਟ ਸੈਕਿੰਡ ਵੈਦਰ ਇਟ ਵਿਲ ਬੀ ਲਾਈਫ ਔਰ ਨਾਟ So you shouldn't waste the time. I was thinking I'll drink some more, maybe enjoy some more of my life, and I'll take almost 2 years. You don't know about the life, we'll be going outside this life, this body. We don't know. So you decide, like Guru Sahib has said, Kabir, aaj karanta abeka. Do it now. Ab karta, so it aal. Kaal karta abeka. We think you need tomorrow, do it now, do it today. Aaj ka kaal karanta abe kar, ab karta sweta, paache kishuna hoega jab sir parave kaal. We don't know about second breath, we'll take it or not. So don't waste our time by thinking all this, that you'll take around 2 years, I can drink now, and all that. It won't work like this with that way.
I think that cleverness that, for 2 years I'll enjoy myself, I'll drink, and then all my sins will be washed away. That's just being clever. Cleverness is not something Guru Sahib is going to like. And if you think that, I've set the date that I'll enjoy myself till then, there's, in my opinion, no way that you're going to get there. Maybe through some special gift, Baba. If you think that you're going to, quote-unquote, enjoy life, you miss the whole point, Baba, because enjoyment of life only starts once you've taken a loop. And that's my understanding.
If you read,
you read the second story from Ranglesh Sajjan, it's about a story of Mahant Sundar Singh.
He was not Namratari yet, and he met the Guru Sikhs, Paisa, Paisa Singh and all that, Guru Sikhs, Paisa and Paisa Singh and all that. It came to his mind, he went to follow Sikhi path. And right that moment, he started following the Rahat. And he used to follow the Sikhs like crazy. He also kept Sarvabhauma Vivek before getting Amrit. He started keeping the Rahat, just following wearing the Bana and all, just like Guru Sikhs. Like crazy to follow them. And when the time came for you to take Amrit, you can read by yourself. It's a homework. I always say, go and read books, you'll understand better. It's the second story of Rangle Sajjan, of Mahansundar Singh, of the Kala, Namdi Kala he had. At the moment he had Amrit, when the Amrit went to his eyes, in his Dasam Dwar, he took the Amrit, the Chula. What happened to him? His whole Atma changed the Kala of Naam, because he used to follow the Rahat Mirada like crazy. He used to go after the Gosikhs, Amar Devdo, begging them for Amar. If you think of this kind of cleverness about by Balprince Singh said, we won't have the Kala of like the Kala that Guru Sahib wants to give us, like the Kala he gave to Mahansundar Singh.
You know, hypothetically talking,
somebody gave this kind of cleverness, and that person did manage to get on the after 2 years, which is very unlikely, but if he did manage to get on it, it will wash his sins off. That's for sure.
Though my brothers are theoretically correct in terms of Guruji can wash any sins from any person, practically, as they've said as well, is that any sins committed deliberately, as I said on Monday in my battle with the mind, they leave an imprint on your mind. A sin is a devil mind. A good action is an angel mind. Now, from my own experience, any devils I created in the past, I can still see them. Sometimes they will, sometimes the angels will. My advice to you is start as soon as possible creating more of the angel minds, the good actions. Stop being clever. If you want to follow the Guru's path, then you've got to change. Don't just rely on the fact that on the day of the Amrit, everything is going to be washed away. Because I've seen many, many people take Amrit, then fall by the side, back in their bad ways again. So my advice is, be committed and start changing.
Can I come back on that? Yes, but
we just add that even the rule of care by the process and so forth.
I've also heard of some those trying to move here before taking number by some means which would permanently remove the roots of the hair so that hair wouldn't grow again. Even that kind of act, deliberate act before you take number, you know you're going to take number, so you want to remove hair before that, falls into the same category as a session.
Okay, moving on.
What is the right and effective way to control anger? By the person?
Anger. Guru Arjan Devi says in Sanskrit this book that it's like chandal. Chandal is like goja. Anger is not going to see the place, whether it's friend, brother, sister. The consciousness up here will disappear momentarily. So it's good. Actually, that's one very good reason why we continuously do some art and read books which are related to spirituality. All we read learning, the purpose is actually to control all the five vices, but we are just talking about one man at the moment. They are all equally dangerous. Any one voice among the five is equally dangerous. The same job, sarvaloka pavadanam, and nam, not in me. Like 1 hour, 2 hour, market, artha adi, artha, at all times. Nam, jabijana, jabijana. Boli, jayana, boli. Speech, nirvata. You know something is going to go wrong. Just don't let your ego respond with anger. Just accept it and say it's okay. But delay your anger. You know you are going crazy. And just delay it off. Follow the moment. That'll be good.
Just to add on that, anger is probably one of the most devastating emotions in families these days. It leads to physical abuse of kids, wives, and probably vice versa if the wife is stronger than us, when it comes the other way, but mostly it's the one way where weak ladies or wives get beaten up by husbands, and that happens in Group 6 as well. Don't get me wrong. Don't try to sort of laugh it off. It's a very serious matter. I've met families, Group 6 families, where these things have happened, and it's a sad state to see and to deal with. Anger. There are anger management courses you can go on in trying to control it, but you need to be committed. You need to sort of look at yourself and say, well, why am I being angry? And when you're angry, right, you need to use some sort of an anger management system. Some say count to 10, some say 10, say 10 times Vaiguru. Do something before you lose control. Anybody who's suffering from anger, he needs to get help from a medical doctor or a psychologist of some sort, because untreated, anger will lead to disaster. And just on that note, one of the most amazing things that Sanskrit Muskinji says in his Kathas is that one of his old writings, a story writing book, one Nirmala Sant, he writes a battle between good and evil. And the five good qualities and the five vices, the battle, massive battle going on through with them. There were other warriors with them, and these vices are losing. They're losing badly. And Hankar, the master, is saying, I've lost calm. I've lost more. I've lost my major generals in this battle. And Krodh comes along, and he says, Krodh, anger. He comes along and says, why are you so disillusioned? He says, can't you see? You've lost our major generals. The good qualities have killed them off. He says, just give me 10 seconds. He says, when I get to them, they will know how to hit them. And that's what anger is. You only have it for a very short period, but it destroys. There's a lot of harm. It's probably the worst out of all five for the damage it causes in a very small time. The others take some time to do their damage. This can do it in a very small time. So my plea to anybody who's suffering from anger is to certainly get help. Obviously, Gurbani, Naam, Kirtan is a wonderful tool, but if you are not responding to that, then you need to get some medical help as well.
Can I come back?
So basically, if you become angry and you understand that anger is damaging your own body, you won't become angry. So basically, you do a lot of body job. You come to the understanding, becoming angry is your own loss.
I think the problem is usually with individuals who are not so much into Gurbani. Now I say that with a caution. I say that with a big caution, because in my journey I have met even Gursikhs who I admire and look up to, and they do massive amounts of path, and I've seen them lose the top. And I wondered to myself, you know, why is it? And then in a few minutes there'll be silence again. And I'm saying, well, it's a battle they've got to fight. Their anger is not damaging. Their anger is just an instant where they get sort of lose it. But
They don't do that much damage. But even then, what I'm saying is, Krodh is that powerful, it gets to them as well on a certain situation. So we need to be on our alert all the time for all the five, not just anger, but like I said, they can strike. And nobody on this panel, I hope not anyway, is going to say, I won them all. They are in charge most of the time. Any question on that?
I was just going to ask, doesn't anger build up if you don't release it?
How do you release it?
Very good question. Does anger build up when if you don't release it? Very valid point. The anger usually bottles up because we haven't done anything about it in the initial stages. And he's right. We shouldn't be bottling it up. We should be doing something about it. Even if it means sitting down with somebody and talking to somebody, why you're getting angry. Because you are right. It explodes when it's been building up. But that's the anger that builds up. There is the other anger as well, the short bit, the short burst anger. That's instant. That's the hard one to overcome. And that can only ever be overcome by Guruji's full grace with Naam and Gurbani having its full effect on our mind. We'll be in that lucky state. Any other question? Any other follow-up? Very good suggestion. Instead of beating somebody in your family, get a punch bag in the garden or in the shed. And when you're getting angry, grab him and put him in there and say, look, reach your anger in there. At least he's not damaging anybody. So, you know, fair enough. Exercise.
I think there's a story about when Hadrubi Singh says, Kapi Akapi
Anagar. Silence, please.
Sorry.
Story of?
Guru Hadrubi Singh here, and there's
Papa. It's a very common thing that those who do a lot of penance, a lot do a lot of tap. One of the things they do carry with them is anger. A lot of rishis are known for their anger. They'll give a curse to anybody who's not behaved themselves or said something wrong. They'll just curse them, just like, I mean, that is Hindu mythology is full of that sort of thing. But
is it damaging to your spirituality?
Well, the thing Guruji says straightly, Kaam, Krodh, Kaya ko gale, Jyo kanchan, Suhaga tale. As you use the Suhaga to melt the gold, borax, the Kaam and Krodh will deteriorate your body in excess. So we need to control. Well, I mean, Guruji was saying Kaam, Krodh, he means actually all five, but they are two that are very, very powerful and have a massive disruptive effect on our bodies. Yes?
You say that you should
get a punch bag to anger out, but you still got anger. No, when we said the punch bag, what we really meant was, rather than you punching somebody who's human, at least if you can't control it, is to release the anger on the bag, which means you're exercising. A lot of people do that, actually. They go to exercise gyms, just to sort of release the energy that's built up. I mean, the proper way is to see a anger management psychologist, because he will know how to treat your particular problem. I mean, don't ever belittle medicine or doctors. They've advanced quite a lot in these sort of fields. So if you are in a difficult situation, do seek help.
I just want to add something to this topic. My understanding is that all these five vikars, Kaam, Krodh, Lobh, Ahankar, they are not part of our original being. They are actually external forces, part of Maya or disillusion that we are into, that attack us only when we are not standing on guard against them.
if you really try to stand guard against anger consciously every day, every few hours or so, thinking I'm not going to let anger come in, and on top of that you do part and simran, it does work. Anger does go away. So being jumping now the body and plus using jnana or knowledge and understanding what anger really is, it does help to control anger and give it almost to the level of eliminating it.
In my opinion, I think anger comes because ego in a person, because of unkar, a person gets angry. How can the person say to me something? Or because the ego built inside him. So the only way I think is to control yourself. One is doing naam japana, and then second is to see yourself the lower of all beings. That I can be in the same situation. If I am in that person's feet, in shoes, sorry, in that person's shoes, I have been doing the same mistake. Like maybe galti kar sakda jinne unne kiti hai. So forgiving the another person is a way you can control your anger. Ee kar sakda main bhi galti kar sakda, so koi bhi kar sakda. So main bhi galti da, I make mistake all the time. So why should be angry at the person now because that person made a mistake and he caused my anger? Think about it. Because of our ego, we try to get angry. That's my opinion.
And then moving on, God knows everything, so why did you do with us? Bible vision.
Question. God does know everything, but at the same time, when you have that relationship with God, you can, I think, change things for yourself, do it last. You know, God knows everything, but if you're consciously recognizing a problem or recognizing a situation, do it last, you can ask God to correct that or ask God for something specific. That's my understanding of it. It's just, you know, building that relationship with God, acknowledging God's presence. I think others probably have more to add to that.
I think we are talking about different spiritual states over there. There is a spiritual state where one does need to, that is not, one may not have that faith, or may have a different understanding or different relationship by him, that one may need to do that. But there are Gurbani Pankhiyan who say that Gursikhs of some level, they don't need to do that for themselves. That they reach that level of understanding of that they totally probably ask to mind. They totally stay dependent on life and don't ask for anything. And when Paisavati Senji went to jail, one of the things Paganinath Singh asked Paisavati that isn't it possible to get out of jail by doing a das for you, like you have Vaivastha and or doing a das or using Nisha. Then Paisavati said that to get out of jail is just a matter of doing a smaller das and less using Shabd. But he said that the Ananda and the bliss that he has in staying in the will of God is much more than that. So it all depends on the spiritual state of a person. Some people may choose to not do das at all for themselves. But by the same token, there's two das that we have to do every day, in the morning and evening, which is part of our health. So that das cannot be avoided at all.
I think Guruji gives us both situations. One of you says, Haram tar jami sab vid jaane ta kis pe aap sunaiye kehne kahne pije govindar paave pehle dikhaiye avrut na sagli dekhi ik teri ot rahaiye. So from that line they think, well, why do Gurdas when antar jami knows everything? But on the other hand, you say, ji ki dritta hoye so gurpa ardas kar shor syanup sagal man tan arpata. Now a highly spiritual Gurmukh will still do his daily two ardas. Why? Because he never ever believes he's pure. He will still cry to Guruji, to save him from Maya, to save him from this worldly ocean of sins. Even though Guruji's blessing is with him, he will still be humble and living in God's fear. And we, which, who have not reached any particular stage yet, we need to do ardas not just twice a day, but any opportunity we get, do a gopt ardas in your mind, asking your God's assistance, Guruji's assistance, when we need his assistance. Don't be thinking, oh, he knows, why cry? You're crying your soul out, Guruji, saying, I need help. And you never know when Guruji will say, okay, child, if you're really crying, here's your help.
Can I come back? Why is it important to wear a domanda? Why does it say you can't wear a Western kiski? There's a bit of confusion around this. I don't really know what a Western kiski is. Does anyone know what a Western kiski is?
It's the what? What's the Western kiss?
I remember the funeral.
Anybody know?
Do we know what Western kiss is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Is it like a vodka without the dude on the top, just going back? Is that? For that be fun. That's not Western. But that would be the
East. We don't want to know who else asked the question, but it'd be good to find out who it did, actually, because we need to understand what the Western Kieski is. Western is that, isn't it? We said the only one Kieski.
Yeah.
Well, that's some kind of question.
Maybe they mean that Monty Panessa style thing? That's the only thing I can think of.
The Monty Panessa thing? Is that Western Kieski? Yeah? All right, okay, so it's the Monty.
For the longest time, Gosek Sabtai Das. For the longest time, Gosek Sabtai Das. The Jula had always gone on the Dasi Dwar. There's a spiritual reason for this as well. And recently, sports people, what was his name? Bedi?
Bishan Singh Bedi.
Cricket star. He started tying a parka. And then people in the cities started following suit. Now it's become so popular, very few people actually tie the stas. And now I've seen a totally new trend. And that's not even a jula, just something, you know, at the back, and it's like that Montefonese style. And that's even worse. It's even worse. And people are just stuck in that so much that they don't even know how to tie the stas anymore. And it's really messing up the Sikh identity. Sikh identity has always been one of the start. I mean, it might take a couple of minutes extra, but it's the Sikh identity. When I was a kid, I used to wear parka, and I realize now how ridiculous I must have looked. I'm not trying to insult anyone who wears a parka, please don't take it that way. But it's just that the star is something that, you know, people look at and it looks good, it looks respectable, it looks princely. But parka is confusing. I mean, I went to a store once with my mother, and the Korean lady at the convenience store, she looked at me and said, my mother, I'm so sorry about your son's head injury. That's what it does look like. It looks really weird. I mean, it's a flat head with a ball on top, and I'm not again trying to be insulting. Please don't take it that way. It's just that if you're wearing it, the star is like a crown. It looks beautiful. And now you don't even have a jula anymore, which is an essential part of the Sikh identity, essential part of, I think, the spiritual technology that we've been given, and you just, you know, throw it back. So how much laziness are you going to get? It's just keep sliding down. So I request everyone, please try and have a slide. You can take a couple minutes extra.
Any
question? What should you do if you're paying a spot that's too rough or something like that, that you can't wear in the starting?
I can't really think of any sport that would be too rough for a properly tied domanda. I mean, learn how to tie a domanda, and that's something that's really, really solid. I've met more than a few Gosikhs who have said, you know, I can expect that my hand will get cut off, but I don't think my domanda will ever fall off. And that's the sort of strength you can get with a domanda. I mean, I'm not going to claim that I have that sort of skill, but there are some Gosikhs that can't teach you how to tie that kind of strength, strong the mala. So I don't think you should need to compromise in a sports situation.
Does that apply to swimming as well?
Apply to swimming? I haven't done swimming in such a long time, but I think, of course, I would wear, I think, a case or at least a small tight mala, I think, would work. It would work in competition.
Underwater, man.
Where what?
Kamukasa.
No. I think it would just be personal opinion here, but I personally would not wear this to Kamukasa. I would keep my head covered. It's just a part of my identity. I feel very uncomfortable in public with my head uncovered.
Yes?
I was just going to say before I used to wear my kazas, I used to wear a short gear ski, and I found I used to still go swimming. I never obviously used to go diving or anything. But when I used to go swimming, the actual gear ski actually used to tie around my head as it got wet. But I'm not recommending it now. I wouldn't go swimming now because I think it'll compromise the red of the cars. But I'm just as a sort of half funny point, the case gets actually tightens when it gets wet. Anyone who's done a arm in a sorority will know that the case gets slightly tight around the head because the body actually makes the copper contract a bit, you know?
Okay.
But I mean, I'm not encouraging anyone to go
swimming. Yeah, you have it. Big point. Yes.
Is there a special Amrit Sandha for fish, or can you go to any Amrit Sandha? What are the differences in the red? I'll just explain some of the words that maybe not all of you understand. Amrit Sandha is the place that you go to ask for Amrit. Okay, so where the Bandhavya Guru Granth Sahib. You go to the bench and ask for Amrit. That's known as Amrit Sandha. Fish is really when you take yourself there, you become fish in front of the bench. So fish means when you submit yourself to the bench, to the five loving ones. And red is the call of Amrit.
The special ambassador for Persia, can you go to any ambassador? I think there wouldn't be any problem with ambassador if there is. You're going for ambassador, it doesn't matter. Wherever you go, you will have Persia, alright? You can go for Persia. The ambassador, the might be able to advise you what to do from there onwards, so not to worry. What about the difference in red? I wouldn't understand what you specifically mean by the difference of red.
Anybody? Question?
If you go everywhere, there will be a little bit different, but basically you still read the same five Panchamarina. Basic principles will still be the same. Not much difference. Panchamarina, Adjavishabadana, Una Panagaya, Bhurpuripana, Adjavishana, Vipuna, Javasabhi Vipuna. Bonnie up with Fatani Pana, red which is Mara Mota, Keskida, Uga, Maram, that's about it.
This says about the controversial issues about
Keskida
and
Keskida. How about you? Keskida, Keskida is made from the niche only. Well, Narak Amrit, Ek Hai, Duja, Amrit, and Nah. There's only one Amrit, there's no two Amrit. And Amrit Nam, Parmeshwar Tera, just go to the Panjari, whatever they tell you, work on that.
What should we do when people label Amrit as in, I'll take our Amrit, then take their Amrit?
That seems to be a common sort of question coming out of the news. A lot of you are sort of having a lot of questions in your mind and doubts, and I've sort of dealt with some of them in my sort of open period in the fields and with some of the youth. I'm going to say this here again. We can't discuss everything here, just not with the time. If you want to go deeper into all these issues, all of us, or individually, you're comfortable with one of us more than the others, you're welcome to come and see any one of us at any time to remove or just to learn more about
what doubts you have, because obviously you can't go too deep here, and it's not really fair to pick one thing out and say, well, what about that? Suffice to say, wherever you go, it is Guru Gobind's amrit you're getting. It's his maryada. The small discrepancies that you do get, that's up to the individual to decide what is he more comfortable with. If he's comfortable with KSK, then that's a choice they've made. If they're not, that's a choice they've made. We on this platform cannot dictate or say, thou shalt do this or do that. We can only say, take amrit, and whatever teachings you get, act upon them. And if you feel in your life you're sort of not getting on, not succeeding, then that's something you need to address with other learned Gursikhs or Gursikhs you trust, and they seek advice in that direction. But we cannot criticize any amrit here. Amrit is amrit when the Panch Pyare give it a principle of Guru Granth Sahib.
I just want to say that no Jatyavati gives amrit. Some people call it Taksal amrit, Nanaksal amrit, Japa amrit. This is a ridiculous notion. Amrit is only given by the Panch Pyare. It doesn't matter who is conducting the amrit sanchar, just as long as proper rite is followed. What do I mean by proper rite? If you go to an amrit sanchar where there's clearly inappropriate things going on, if they're giving out amrit in glasses, for example, to take home, or any number of things that are going wrong, then that's just not somewhere where you should, just not somewhere where the amrit sanchar rite is being followed. Now, we are all going to, you know, have different opinions on what the maryada is, and I guess I'd ask you to do your own research or ask other Gursikhs about the issues that you're confused about. But the second thing I want to say about getting pinched is, don't try to be clever. Again, I warn against being clever, that if you make a mistake and you go, well, I believe in this, that, but I'll go patient such as a Jambu Sanjab because, you know, they don't really seem too strict. Or you say that, you know, I made a mistake and I don't want to embarrass myself, so I'll go get patient in, you know, another continent. Don't be clever like that, because cleverness is not something that Guru Sahib likes. And if you truly want to build a relationship with Guru Sahib, you have to forsake all cleverness like that.
You feel that? Yes.
I just wanted to ask for, can you give some sources that we could go to, websites or books or where we can actually learn more about what should actually happen? Because
I think if you're interested in learning more, then there's quite a few websites on the internet. Without recommending anyone, I've got in my favourites about 10 websites where they've got knowledge on Sikhi. And as Bhai Bhavi says, we'd rather prefer that you do the research in looking at. See, if you put Sikhism onto, say, the Google site, you'll get loads of these sites coming up. And then it'd be nice if you sort of do some research and look at the principles behind the amrit and what they're saying. And then you probably learn much more about the slight differences and also the maryada as well. So if you go to Google, put into Sikhism or in amrit, you'll get loads of sites coming up. And then look at them.
Okay, we'll just take one final question and then it'll probably just have to end. Can you ask for amrit if you still occasionally doubt Vaheguru? So, in effect, if you still occasionally doubt God, can you still go and ask for amrit by Guru Ji?
Of course, you can go ask for amrit if you have doubts. It's up to Panch Pyare to decide if you are going to be selected for amrit or not. This is also at the time of Guru Gobind Singh Ji, Guru Gobind Singh Ji asked for the heads. Everybody did not get amrit, only the ones who were totally submitted. So when you go to Panch Pyare do ask you questions, they kind of interview you. So if you qualify in that interview, only then you will get amrit. So, but again, if you have doubts about Vaheguru, then I think it's a good idea to talk to other Gurmukhs or Gursikhs in your area and clear your doubts before you go to Amrit. Because Amrit really is about Vaheguru. So, that's my opinion.
Thank you.
I think in this situation we can still also read another book, same book and English legend of Paisa Parathi Singh, the story of Hira Parathan Singh was, even though he came from a Guru Sikh family, while he was at Khalsa College, he became like an atheist because he lost the faith in Vaheguru. He didn't know he should believe the existence of Vaheguru. What happened was, when he was in the back home, the Guru Sikhs got together and organized a kampas for him, for his charity club. The parents requested the Guru Sikhs to do a charity club, kampas for his charity club, so that he will become a non-atheist and a Vaheguru believer. What happened was, when he heard the kirtan, the color of the kirtan, and he sat in meditation right away. Vaheguru Bhakti Shuryote, he got Amrit right away after that, because he was chosen as one of the Avalakhi for the Muslim Chasa. He listened to the whole of Khan Kirtan Samagam at that time for a few hours, then listened to the whole of Khan Parsaj. Then again the Kirtan went on for about 6-7 hours. And then he sat for the whole Khanpasar, the whole Smagam, Kirtan Smagam. Then he went for page, and right away he had the darshan of Vaheguru. That's according to Paisa Rati Singh, was there. He was one of the Singhs who was in the Seva. He writes down about this event of Hira Bhajan Singh. Yes, I think it's a. You can go and ask for Amrit. It's up to the Panchkala. Paisa Rati Singh said they might. Show you the way at the time. The punch, they have all powers, they can show you. Number one.
Just one thing I want to say, don't be so hard on yourselves if you know you get a momentary flash of doubt. If you're firmly grounded in your belief in God, but if a flash of doubt comes into your mind on occasion, you know, am I really doing this for real? You know, there are many purposes. If that flash comes, but then you know, you come back, don't be so hard on yourself, because I don't think that unmoving, that unfluctuating, that solid, totally, you know, amazing faith is going to come until you have the experience. And that experience is only going to come once, you know, you start moving on the path after unlock. So just because, you know, you get an occasional flash of doubt of, you know, is there really a point, but then you come back, don't be so hard on yourself, because that faith is only going to come once you've had the experience.
Yes.
What do you think if you're not that you're not ready to take on the take anyway, and know that the camps like this actually boost you to go into the air?
Is your question or just a
no question? Well, would you recommend taking Amrit even though knowing that you're not ready to take Amrit, but knowing that the camp like this would boost you to the air?
So this is a question for everyone's benefit of the camp, is that if you're boosted by, say, Khalsa camp, which hopefully you all are, should you then, knowing that you may not be boosted for much longer than a few more days or a few weeks, should you go to an Amrit Pandana and take Amrit?
I think when we should have doubts in our mind, it just starts working. When we have doubts in our mind about God, Guru, and Sikhi in general, we need to do some homework on that. And we need to have some inspiration, either from Guru Sikhs who get sangat of, or reading the lives of Gurus, Shaheeds, and great saints. That's an inspiration in itself. And coming to gatherings, camps like these, and be inspired. But we can't keep sort of saying to the mind, but you've not sort of reached the stage where you are ready. You can never ever decide you're ready. Gurus will decide whether you're ready or not. We need to take that plunge at one time at least, you know, and say, I'm going to go for it. Let the Panchkala decide whether I'm suitable or not, rather than we keep deciding. But what I would say is, if you can, prepare yourself. By that I mean, get used to getting up early, having a bath, doing your netanim, or learning to do your netanim. That will come in very, very handy after you take an Amrit. A lot of people take Amrit, not prepared for it, and it's really hard afterwards. So do prepare
if you possibly can. I mean, I knew a friend of mine who passed away some years ago. We both took Amrit in 1970, and he's one of those cases I will never forget. And you know, it's an extraordinary case. I don't advise anybody to do that. It must have been somebody, one of his poorest and scar that he got it, but he actually was a heavy drinker, and we don't advise anybody doing that. But he wasn't prepared for Amrit. He wasn't even bothered about Amrit, and he'd sort of been drinking, and somebody said, "Oh, does Amrit start tomorrow? Why don't you take Amrit?" No, no, what happened to the guy? Because normally we say, if you're drinking, forget about it, prepare, give it up first for a while, and make sure you can give it up. This guy, bless his soul, he took the Amrit, he spilled all his alcohol at home, that he brewed and everything, I got rid of it, and all the years I knew him, he never touched a drop, and his level went up and up. He was that committed. But my advice is, these are far and few souls. Mostly you need to prepare quite well, so life is easier when you've taken a Amrit. And with Guruji's grace, it doesn't come easier.
I did say that was the last question, but the next one is quite relevant, so we'll just go to that one quickly. What can I practically do to prepare myself for Amrit? By baptism?
The extent of my preparation before I took Amrit, I brought up on what I cited on, and the effect I had wasn't very strong. And I was, you know, confused about so many things. So I wouldn't recommend doing that. I wouldn't recommend blindly just jumping in, unless you've got that strong an inspiration. But I would recommend trying to follow that for a while. I would recommend trying to make a routine for your own prayer. I recommend doing it in the name, even wearing it because to start off. Reading books about spirituality, actually, you know, understanding what Amrit is. You know, building that thirst within yourself. Because when we go for Amrit, it shouldn't be just like a ritual or ceremony. We should genuinely be dying for Amrit, dying for love. And we should be slowly, you know, moving towards that new life that's going to start the day of the Amrit Sanchar. Because that's a totally new birth, new life. So we should make ourselves ready for that new plunge.